You are listening to Thought Thief by K.E. Preston. Chapter 23, Seraphina. The smell of the ballroom was overpowering. It had been all right before the music. Cloying, pressing, overpowering, but all right. However, once the floor had cleared and the dancers took their places, the symphony of scents began to overtake Seraphina. Happiness, wrath, loss, joy, lust, depression forced their way down her throat and into her mind.
"Are you all right?"
Varys asked as she passed under his arm for a turn.
"Of course," Seraphina chirped.
"Are you sure?"
he pressed again, eyes worried, brows going up in a question.
"Absolutely,"
Seraphina said, forcing her smile so wide she thought her face might crack open and fall to the floor. The image of her smiling expression shattering like pottery flashed in her mind and caused her to miss a step in the line.
"Seraphina."
"You know, it's awfully loud in here," she said, hating that she was causing a scene.
"Right,"
Varys nodded, scanning over the top of the crowd and then saying,
"This way."
He took her by the hand and gently led her from the floor, around tables, people, and couches, till they were out the door, sucking in the night air. He guided her to a bench where she shivered in relief as the cool air hit her lungs. Goose flesh spread across her neck, and the summer night blew through the weave of her dress, wiping the sweat from her brow.
"Are you cold?"
Varys asked from somewhere above her.
"Why?"
she laughed, turning to look at the giant, who was wearing a simple shirt, trousers, and a green-horned mask.
"Do you have a jacket you could loan me?"
"I guess not,"
he said with a sheepish grin as he undid the ties of his mask and took a seat on the ground next to her. He began to drum the mask between his fingers, a rapid tat, 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 tat that made Seraphina wince internally.
"I suppose I just want to know how you're feeling."
Seraphina had never been good at hiding her feelings. They were always bubbling out of her mouth or making her fingers flutter with anxiety. She hated this unproductive, less than helpful trait. But it was still there, and everyone always knew. The tears were always plainly visible for her brother and his friends to tease her about. Finally, her mother had pulled her aside and given her some advice.
"Focus on what needs to be done, not on what you are feeling. Find a job and do it. And when that job is done, find another and another, and soon your feelings will be forgotten."
She had been following that advice, one way or another, for most of her life. But what could she do when the jobs were done? What was left to distract her from these pointless pains when it was just a man and a starlight-strewn terrace in front of her?
"I'm fine,"
she said, hoping her smile would put an end to the conversation.
"It would be all right if you weren't,"
Varys replied.
"But I am,"
Seraphina insisted. He sighed and looked at her, at last stopping the incessant drumming.
"You know, it's unfair that you get to know what I am feeling, and I have no way of knowing what's going on in your heart."
"Right," Seraphina scoffed. "It must just be awful to only have your thoughts bouncing around in your head."
"That's not what I meant."
"It's all right,"
she said, filling her words with smiles and sincerity, because it really was fine.
"I'm all right. And you don't have to do this. Look after me. I've got it handled. You don't need to worry about me."
Varys chuckled slowly, a warm sound that rolled over her back like warm stones.
"Seraphina, am I lying right now?"
"What?
Am I lying?"
Seraphina rolled her eyes.
"Well, no, you're not lying. No one is ever really lying when they say they care. But it's just not polite to burden people."
"You're not a burden. Not to me. God surround me. Who in your life made you feel like that? I ought to bop them on the nose."
That he meant.
Serafina had been feeling Varys' need for action hovering around him since before they had entered Altair. The fog of his urgency had been getting progressively thicker with each passing day. He had been holding it together fairly well, but right now, he needed something to do. Something to hit, somewhere to run. As he stared off into space, he began fidgeting with his mask again, the painted wood blurring into nothing as it waved back and forth in his hand, and Serafina thought she heard it starting to crack.
"Maybe don't do any acts of violence on my account," she said, reaching forward and placing a light hand on his wrist.
"I make no promises," Varys replied, placing the mask on the bench and turning to look at her. Her eyes roamed over his body, over the light blue shirt the prince had made for him, the bit of brown skin that peeked through at his open collar, sage green stubble that had started to appear on his chin. It looked like moss on a rock, and she was struck with the sudden urge to touch it, to learn if it would be soft or rough against her palm. His words had been simple. There'd been no grand declaration. Still, they vibrated through Serafina, pulling her forward. Their faces were very close. It would be all too easy to reach forward and touch the moss on his chin. His face was so large, and the eyes she had thought were a warm and welcoming brown had become deep pools of green-flecked darkness in the moonlight. His nose was broad, his lips were full, and so very close to hers. All she would have to do is lean forward, an inch, maybe two, and... Varys cleared his throat and sat straighter, taking his lips and eyes out of range of her hands and desires. The cool night air rushed in around her, breaking whatever spell there might have been as effectively as a bucket of ice water. Serafina shook herself and tried to pull her head on straight. There was an energy in the air she had not felt since she was in her youth. It sparked across her skin and scrambled her brains.
"I'm sorry," Varys sighed. "It must be very hard to have your talents and be able to separate your impulses and desires from the people around you."
"No, you don't have to apologize. I..."
She what? Wanted to kiss him? Wanted to do more than kiss him? Did she even know what she wanted, or was she just guessing? In Whitesilver, a kiss between them would have just been a kiss, as easily forgotten as given. But now things felt heavier. Their shared time, shared secrets, shared conversations, thousands of small things sat on their shoulders now, pulling them closer, and turning the wanting Serafina had for Varys into a full-body need.
"It is hard being an Aethryc, and I am still getting used to it," Serafina replied at last. "Though it is also hard being a human and knowing what you want. I was never very good at that part."
"At knowing what you want?"
he asked, cocking his head to one side, emphasizing the question.
"That's surprising. You've always seemed so sure of what to do. You were able to organize armies and order around servants like a woman born to do the job."
Serafina gave a bitter laugh.
"Those are yes or no questions. Black or white decisions," she sighed, tilting her head back to look at the stars. "The trouble is, my world is getting grayer and grayer by the moment."
"What do you mean?"
She could feel the breath of his question on her neck, sense his eyes on her skin, admiring her, and she could feel her own body answering that admiration. It was in her chest, bubbling away like steam trapped in her heart. She took a breath and tried to quiet her thoughts before answering.
"Well, for example, that business with Wren. I pushed to include her. I pushed her into harm's way."
"You didn't know what would happen."
"No, but you did. Brenora did."
Serafina groaned, throwing her hands down in her skirt and her face back up to the stars.
"I've spent years trying to repair my character and hone my judgment. I thought by now those traits were at least sound. But what if they had just been untested? And now that I have been tested, I've been found wanting. Again. Something cool and smooth brushed her chin. She started and turned to see Varys looking at her, his thumb caressing the edge of her face. His hands felt like soft clay, and she found herself wishing his fingers would travel to the back of her neck to cradle her head and pull her face closer to his.
I haven't known you for very long, but what I do know about you is this,
Varys whispered, as Serafina's heart tried to tear out of her chest.
You're capable, organized, and an absolute force to be reckoned with.
He was getting closer. She could once again see the stubble on his chin and the dark swirling green in his eyes.
You are smart, gorgeous, and kind. But I think the thing I like the best about you is how much you want to do the right thing. You want to be a good person the way some people want power or fame or wealth. And as far as I'm concerned, that makes you the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
The last words were a whisper. As if he was reading her mind, Varys's hands found the base of her skull and tilted her head up to face him. Her hands moved across his arms, fingers gripping his biceps. The air around them was pulsing again with the energy of anticipation. She could feel it in her stomach, in her toes, on her lips. She was being pulled into him, not by his arms, but by the magnetic force that was her own attraction and desire. And then he stopped. Varys's face was so close, it was practically on top of hers when he pulled back, threw his head in the air, and groaned in frustration. He yanked his hands from around her waist and dropped her unceremoniously back onto the bench. Ouch! Serafina cried as her backside hit stone. Varys was already up, hands running over his face, pacing across the terrace.
I did it again,
he growled from behind his fingers.
I am so sorry. I just keep pushing what I want on you. And I do, Serafina, I do want you. But I'm sorry. It's not fair to you and you.
Varys, stop it, Serafina snapped, jumping to her feet and marching over to him. This was getting ridiculous, and she was getting more than a little frustrated. Stop shouting, stop pacing, stop pulling away, and next time, don't stop what you are doing unless I say so. He blinked at her, eyes wide, face blank with confusion, but he smelled like burnt pine, like crackling, burning, yearning hope. Varys started, then stopped, cleared his throat, and began again.
Does that mean, do you want me to pick up where we just left off?
Serafina let her head drop into her hands, fingers rubbing at the creases in her forehead. He was so frustrating and earnest. Most men that she had met had made this sort of choice for her. No one had ever forced themselves on her, but no one had ever really cared, like Varys cared, about her saying yes. They had just said what they wanted from her, and if she felt like it, she went along with their requests. No one had ever waited for her to say that she wanted them. And now that someone was finally asking, she wasn't sure how to say yes or no. She pulled her head up and looked at him, wearing a smile that she did not have to force. Look, there's a balustrade over there, she said, with a roll of her eyes and a flick of her wrist. Let's go lean on it and start talking and just see where the night takes us. He beamed down at her and offered his elbow.
Right this way, Demoiselle,
Varys said, mimicking Prince Zithril's accent. Stop that. Don't be rude, Serafina giggled, swatting at his arm.
Oh, I am sorry. I did not mean to offend,
he said, continuing to mock.
Excuse me. I must be off now to deliver a grand speech and make passionate love to friends somewhere in the gardens.
Now that is crass as well as rude, Serafina chided,
dropping his arm to lean against the stone railing and look out into the night of the royal grounds.
Sorry,
Varys mumbled from beside her, using his own voice.
I hope she's all right. Rin acts like she knows what she's doing, but I think she might have bitten off more than she can chew with this prince.
I'm sure she'll be fine, Seraphina replied, not really thinking about her answer, just enjoying the feel of Varys' side pressed into her arm.
She looked out across the palace lawns and smiled to herself. The garden sprawled 15 feet below them, a marvel in landscaping and ingenuity. In front of her lay flowers, pathways, and statuary. Somewhere to the left was a perfectly manicured hedge maze, and all around them were shadows. Shadows that could have been some sort of plant, or could have been other guests making the most of the dark. There was a shifting to her left, a blue and gold flicker, drawing Seraphina's thoughts back to Rin. She turned to Varys to whisper and guess at what she could have just seen, and then stopped, instantly forgetting what she was going to say. As Seraphina had been looking down on the gardens at their feet, Varys had been looking up with reverence and wonder at the night sky. He looked so beautiful, so devoted, as he gazed up into the heavens, and Seraphina found herself wondering how on earth she could have ever thought this man ridiculous. His face was transformed when he looked at the night sky. It changed from boyishly handsome and took on the startlingly beautiful quality reserved for the servants of the gods in the old stories. Is it possible to be jealous of the stars? Seraphina wondered as she lifted herself up to sit on the railing. She couldn't help it. She needed to be closer to him, to look into his eyes, to see if just maybe he would look at her with the same devotion he was giving to the wonders of the sky.
We still don't know what they are,
he said, unable to pull his gaze away from the night.
I thought they were supposed to be fragments of dreams.
Seraphina lifted her chin to look at the jeweled mysteries that had Varys so captivated as she angled her body closer to him.
That's one story. Another is that Rage shot arrows at the sky in her grief and poked holes in the clouds. And of course, there's the one about Kitty Cat stealing diamonds from love and creation. There's dozens of old tales trying to explain the stars.
Why?
No one knows,
Varys said, shrugging his shoulders and pursing his lips.
Trabok might be able to tell you some academic theory, but I can't give you an answer.
Doesn't it bother you to not know which one of these stories is true?
Seraphina asked. She had never taken the time to think about the stars, but now that she was, it bothered her. Wasn't that what religions were for? To give clear answers for the mysteries of the world?
Not really, no.
He looked down from the sky and at last saw how close she was sitting. Seraphina had the pleasure of seeing Varys' eyes go wide and watched as he swallowed against the nerves in his throat.
It wouldn't change anything,
he finished, and his words rumbled over her skin.
Which one of the stories is your favorite?
She asked, and smiled as he moved his hands to either side of her hips, framing her body, boxing her in. He was directly in front of her now, the smells of summertime hay and pine rolling off of him and filling her up. He wanted her, in every sense of the word, and she could feel her body responding to that wanting instead of analyzing it.
The one about the four scattering death's frost across the sky.
I've never heard of that one,
Seraphina whispered, feeling the beat of her heart answering the rhythm of his.
I have it memorized. I could tell it to you now, if you like.
He brought himself lower, brought his face closer.
I don't want to hear stories right now, Varys,
she said, teasing the back of his leg with her slipper as he came still closer. He nodded, his face so close it was hard to take it all in, his legs pressing into her knees.
And what do you want to do right now, Seraphina Morningstar?
He asked. He knew the answer. They both knew the answer, but he wanted her to say it. I want to kiss you, she said, simple and bold and proud, and that was all the invitation he needed. It didn't start as an uncontrollable, passionate embrace. It started almost like a question. His lips grazed hers in the darkness, slowly parting as they pressed together. She felt his hands tentatively slide around her waist, his fingers gently threading themselves through her hair. Her own hands traveled up, fingers brushing over his forearms to come and rest on his shoulders. It was a sweet kiss, a tender kiss, a kiss meant for nighttime tales and children's stories. They both pulled away at the same time, looking at each other in silent wonder as their breath mingled together. And then something changed. The same power that gave Varys his physical strength pushed him forward in his physical desire. Seraphina had no complaints. The force of his need matched her own, and what had started as the gentle light of a candle turned into an all-consuming forest fire. Seraphina could practically feel the heat of the blaze tearing its way over the mountains, across the meadows, and down her neck. His hands moved from her back to her waist to her thighs, tangling in her skirts and pulling them higher. He was too far away. She needed him closer. Seraphina opened her legs, grabbing him by the neck and pulling him to her. Varys gave a slight surprised chuckle and then made himself busy. His hands played circles across her body as his lips sought out every piece of exposed skin they could find. His kisses traveled across her jaw, stopped briefly to tug at her ear, and then started to work their way down her neck. Seraphina leaned back, giving him the room to work, arching her back and turning her face up to the moon. She felt a pulling around her collar, the tug of fabric on fabric as the tie around her neck came loose, and then a cool wind dancing across the skin of her chest. At first she basked in the sensation, her body flooded with excitement and her mind already drunk with pleasure. And then she saw the ribbon that had closed her neckline fluttering to the floor.
My scars! He'll see my scars!
Her mind screamed. Seraphina pulled her hands away from Varys' neck, turning away from him to grab at the top of her neckline. He looked at her, confusion that soon changed to panic splashing across his face. Before Seraphina could explain, she felt herself tipping backwards. In her haste to close her dress, she had overbalanced, and now she was falling into 15 feet of darkness. She waved a hand, she shifted her weight, she tried to correct her mistake, but to no avail. She could already feel her knees slipping from her stone perch, and it was going to be a long way down. But just as suddenly as she felt herself falling, she felt strong hands around her waist, catching her, pulling her over the balustrade, planting her feet firmly on the steady ground of the terrace.
God surround me, are you all right?
Varys asked, panic replacing every other urge that had filled him moments before.
Mm-hmm,
Seraphina managed, giving a tight-lipped nod as she stood up straight, making sure she was still holding her dress closed.
Are you sure?
He placed his hands on her shoulders and started looking her over for imagined injuries.
I'm fine, she said,
fighting the shake out of her voice.
Seraphina, I'm so, so sorry, Varys pleaded. Gods, I'm an idiot, and sorry. I didn't mean to overstep. I thought, well, it doesn't really matter what I thought.
I'm fine, really.
That was totally inappropriate,
he continued without hearing her.
Varys, I said I'm fine. I was enjoying myself. It was just...
A bit fast,
he asked, his features flinching away from his own words.
You know, I think I just need some water,
Seraphina replied, inching her way back towards the doors.
Oh, I could...
No, you stay right there, she interrupted. I'll be back in a moment. You just stay there and don't move.
Seraphina slipped inside the doors without looking back. What she must look like. She was stumbling into a party, holding her dress closed, blushing right to the tops of her green ears. She knew her hair was a mess. She could feel it escaping its braids to tickle the back of her neck. For a moment, her mind stuttered, and she was back on that balcony. Varsa's strong fingers pulling at her hair, her dress slipping open. His lips.
No!
Serafina told herself firmly and gave her head a good knock with the knuckles of her free hand. Had she lost her mind? How far was she about to let that go before good sense and gravity caught up with her? Was she really about to have Varus right out there on the balcony in front of the gods and the whole of Altair?
Where's Bernora?
She mumbled to herself. She needed someone to talk sense into her, or drown her in cold water.
Drink, Demozena?
Serafina almost jumped out of her own skin. She was so lost in her own thoughts that she hadn't even seen the servant at her elbow.
Yes, thank you,
she said, snatching a glass at random off the tray and downing it before the servant was even out of sight. She had just enough time to remember the charm she had given to Rin before the room started spinning. Serafina stumbled, catching herself on a nearby table. Her vision blurred in the light of the ballroom, colors changing from blue to violet to red. The music slowed and screeched in her ears, becoming noise without pattern. What was the matter with her? She tried to push herself straight again. She had been doing something, or looking for someone. She squinted, trying to remember and make the room hold still.
Meet me in the hall, Demoiselle,
said a sweet, sing-song voice inside her head. That's right. She was supposed to be in the hall for some reason. She couldn't remember the reason at the moment, but she was sure she'd find it once she got out of this loud, disorienting mess of a party. She slipped and weaved her way to the interior doors, tripping over objects without knowing if they were people or furniture. She just had to get outside. Everything would be clear and calm once she got into the hall. She crashed through the doors, careening across the tiled floor and hitting her shoulder on the far wall.
Ow!
She quietly moaned as she slid down to the floor.
Ah, 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 demoiselle,
sang a sweet voice in her mind.
No resting yet. You and I still have somewhere to be.
Hello? Serafina called, her own voice echoing off the walls and down the empty corridor.
This way.
She pushed herself to her feet again and began walking in a random direction. She didn't know where she was going or who she was meant to find, but it didn't really matter. It was like she was being pulled forward by an invisible string around her waist. She just had to follow the voice and do as she was told, and everything would be fine. As far as she was concerned, the hall was empty. Serafina might have heard the clicking of other people's heels along the floor. She might have passed other guests. A whole army might have been running behind her, screaming her name. She had no way of knowing, and she did not care. All that mattered was finding that voice and receiving her next instructions.
Just around the corner now. Almost there.
Her vision was pooling towards the center. Darkness creeping around the edges as her head started to pound. She braced her hands against the wall and pressed her face into the cool marble.
There you are,
the voice chided, and this time Serafina heard it with her ears. She felt one of her arms threaded around unfamiliar shoulders and watched numbly as the neckline of her dress fluttered open.
Was someone having a little too much fun out on the balcony?
Who was that voice? Serafina knew that voice. She walked down the hall, supported by a voice and hands she knew but could not place. An image of an opalescent teacup and dark hair danced across her memory, but was gone and forgotten just as quickly.
I might have made this dose too strong,
sighed the person beside her.
But you will have to keep your head up and keep walking, Demoiselle Morningstar. We have stairs to climb. And you have an old acquaintance coming to visit.
Hi, this is K.E. Preston with a quick interruption before the credits. As many of you know, I have been hard at work trying to compile all of my recordings into one audiobook. And I'm proud to say, I've done it.
It's finished and ready for sale. No more waiting, no more cliffhangers. It should be available on most major platforms like Audible or iBook in a week or two. But if you don't want to wait, the whole book is available right now for free on my Patreon. That's right, for just $5 a month, you could start listening now and be done with this whole book in 4 hours. Two, if you listen on double speed. And if you cancel your membership after that, I won't tell if you don't. Granted, if you want to see the new character art that's coming, or apply to be a beta reader for book two, or maybe see some fun interviews that I have planned for over the summer, I'd stick around. But if not, I totally understand. Links to my Patreon and where to buy the paperback are available in the episode description below. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Enjoy the credits. You've been listening to Thought Thief by K.E. Preston, narrated by K.E. Preston. Thought Thief is also available in paperback and ebook at kepreston.net. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please consider leaving us a review or even sharing this with a friend. If you've really enjoyed what you've heard, there is bonus content available on our Patreon. Every dollar there allows me and my family to keep doing what we love, which is sharing this story with you. Thought Thief is recorded and edited by me, K.E. Preston, with editing help from Hanson Lyman and Mark Gardner. Thought Thief is a work of fiction written by K.E. Preston, with developmental editing and linguistics help by Amanda Berry. Thought Thief is a Lit Lab production. Thank you for listening.